Welcome to WQCS.org. I'm Janie Gould with another edition of Flora Days. When the Civil War started, a century and a half ago, one of President Lincoln's first acts was to order a naval blockade of southern ports. That meant that shippers from England and elsewhere had to find other ways of getting their goods to the Confederacy. The Jupiter Inlet was a favorite route for blockade runners. So was the Indian River Inlet in present-day St. Lucie County. That inlet no longer exists. Historians Nick Wynn and Joe Crankshaw have written a book about the blockade in Florida. Wynn says they learned the federal blockade didn't stifle shipping much at all.
One scholar has indicated about 85% of the ships that tried to run the blockade were successful.
Were there just not enough enemy ships, or northern ships, should I say?
Well, yeah, that's true. When the war started, there were only like 5 ships readily available. And you have to keep in mind that you're trying to blockade 3,000 miles or more of coastline. Florida has almost 1,500 miles by itself. And so I don't know if there were enough ships in the world to do that. But
in our area, there was a good deal of blockade activity and blockade running.
Absolutely. This is an area that was very much geared toward success in running the blockade simply because there were so many small harbors and barrier islands you could hide behind. It was just a blockader's nightmare.
Were the inlets navigable at that time? Any inlets?
There were inlets that were navigable. The problem was that you had to do it in small, shallow draft boats, and most of the blockade runners were specifically designed to run in the shallows. Most of the blockading ships were larger, heavier warships, and they had great difficulty. And as my partner Joe Crankshaw pointed out, it was not until the Union Navy actually started doing raids inside the Indian River utilizing small boats that it made any significant difference.
Crankshaw says blockade runners often staged their runs to Florida from Nassau.
Actually, all the blockade runners and the blockade ships captains drank together at the bar in the Royal Victoria Hotel there. They shipped in very few war materials. The South finally had to pass a law saying that every blockade runner had to have a certain amount of combat goods. They were bringing in liquor and fancy hats and books and cigars. But they did bring in some good stuff like quinine. Probably not many guns came in through our inlets.
The problem also, you have to keep in mind, along the East Coast was that there were no interior roads. Once you made it across the Atlantic into the Florida shores, you could unload. But then the question became, what happened when you unloaded? Bob Taylor, one of the Fort Pierce scholars who is now at FIT, points out in New Smyrna there was a load of 5,000 shoes that were brought in for the Confederate Army along with guns, and so the local militia was left to guard it.
Uh-oh.
Pretty soon the whole thing just disappeared, and Governor Milton had to send a special squad down to round up all of this stuff.
Wynn says the federal blockade might have given the North a psychological boost, but that's about it.
It was great press, but in the end, how much did it really achieve? Not much.
Nick Wynn is retired as executive director of the Florida Historical Society. Joe Crankshaw is a journalist with Scripps Treasure Coast Newspapers. Their book is titled Florida's Civil War Blockade, Battling for the Coast. For 88.9 FM, I'm Janie Gould.